because you have this far. Oh Lord, how good you are. Amen. Give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the definition of good. Everything about him is good. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Well, we're going to have our brother Daryl come out for round two. And I almost feel sorry for the devil. Almost. But he's getting what he deserves. And there's no love lost between us. I like him about as much as he likes me. You say you shouldn't say that. Why not? I have no part in him. He has no part in me. Amen. He lied to me for many years and told me I was his child. And it really bothered me when he told me that. And the reason why it bothered me is because I'm not his child. I never was. Never was his child. I always was a child of the King. How many could say amen to that? Just had to find out one day who your real father is. Hallelujah. No, I'm not picking a fight with the devil. I'm in a fight with the devil. I was born into a battle. Amen? And I've read the back of the book. We win, he loses. And he's actually doing us a favor. Because he's bringing us to perfection. Everything that he does just brings something more. It brings Christ out in your life a little bit more. Believe that? Amen. As our brother Daryl comes, he counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the sea. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures great and small, he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. You believe that tonight? I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Have all the answers, but I know in whom I have. Hallelujah. He knows my name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Oh, yes, he does. He knows my name. Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them, he knows my name. Hallelujah. Let's sing that last chorus again. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name.
What a great honor. Amen. The God who created the heavens and the earth knows our name. Amen. You know, here... A few years ago, I was preaching a meeting down in Manny, Louisiana. And I had gotten my ticket for that meeting about 2 months in advance. And I went ahead and, like most folks do, I suppose, got my seat. So 2 months before the meeting, I already had my seat and already had my ticket. And I preached that weekend and they drove me back up to Alexandria and I got on the plane to fly home. And so I'm sitting in my seat and a man walks up and sits down in the seat beside me and he said, "You from around here?" I said, "No, sir. I'm from up in Tennessee." And he said, "What brings you down this part of the country?" I said, "I'm a preacher. I've been down here preaching a meeting." And he said, "Well," he said, "I go to a big Pentecostal church here in Alexandria, Louisiana." I said, "We got 1,500 people." And I said, "I'm so happy for you. It's just wonderful how God's blessing you." And he said, "Well, since you're a preacher, let me ask you something." I said, "Well, I'm not too smart, but if I could help you, I'll be glad to answer your question." He said, "Well," said, "my daughter was getting her kids ready to bring me to the airport." And he said, "I was surfing on the internet." He said, "I come across something that was so unusual." And he said, "Since you're a preacher, I'm going to ask you about it." And I said, "Well, sir, if I can help you, I'll sure be glad to do it." He said, "Have you ever heard of a man by the name of William Branham?" I said, "Yes, sir. His grandkids go to my church." This guy went ballistic. We talked all the way to Atlanta. But the thing I got out of that, and this song reminded me of it, is that 2 months, oh God, that 2 months before that man ever knew he had a question, God done had the answer sitting beside him. Oh, hallelujah. And that same God tonight, is in this building. He knows whatever need is. The answer has already been provided. You see, the answer to every question we have is Jesus Christ. What an honor it is to serve Him. I know you've been standing for a few minutes, but I just want to greet you and we thank you so much for allowing us to come this way once again. And we always enjoy coming to Arizona. It's, call it my second home, and I just really love it out here, and it's just wonderful, and I'm so glad that Cheryl and Jessica got to come with me, and they don't get to come with me all the time, and it's always a pleasure when they do, and I want to thank you for your kindness, and thank you for the banquet, and thank you for the room that you gave us to rest in, and the food that was provided for us, and all that you've done for us, and may God richly bless you, be our prayer, and we're looking forward to the day that we won't be gathered at Tucson or gathered up in Tennessee, but we'll be gathered home. Amen. To be with our Father. And whatever it takes, friends, don't miss it. There is nothing in this world worth missing heaven for. Can you say amen to that? And may God richly bless you. And I know you're probably a little bit tired. I'm a wee bit tired myself. And I'll be 60 year old this year, and I'm starting to feel a little bit of it. I was over in Nicaragua and at a young people's meeting over there. It's about 13 years I've been over there, but this sister came up to me. She said, "You look a whole lot younger when you're preaching than you do in person." And I said, "Well, how old do you think I am?" And she said, 72. So it's obviously that girl needs a revelation. Oh, amen. So, I'm certainly not that old, but amen. Do you love Him? Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of Hebrews. We want to read from Hebrews, excuse me, made myself laugh, but we want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and may the Lord richly bless you this evening. Be our prayer. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1. My, the choir just sung so beautiful tonight. It's good to hear you again. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hebrews 12, 1. The Bible says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now that word patience, it means a patient enduring, sustaining, or perseverance. Amen. Let us run the race with perseverance. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you tonight for just a few minutes on be thou thus minded. And I want to take a thought out of that. Press on. Press on. Heavenly Father, thy word is true, Lord. And we are so grateful for your word says, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. And Lord, we realize this evening that the only way we can understand these great truths is by your grace, Lord. For no college degree could give it to us, Lord. No mind like some great men would possess, Lord, to have the ability to work great mathematical problems could ever figure this thing out. It takes the grace of Almighty God. And Lord, we are grateful for you that you have done this thing for us. That the mysteries of God that was hidden in your mind before the foundation of the world, before there was ever a moon or a star, you have made these things known to us, Lord. You have shared your mind with us, Lord, and we thank you for it. Now, Father, may you take this feeble thought tonight, Lord, as we lay aside our means, Lord, and our ability, which we have none. And Lord, we desire to become a channel tonight. And may you take this thought and channel it through human lips, Lord, that the people could receive of your word. For Lord, healing is the children's bread and the children are hungry, Lord. And may there come forth tonight a great faith, Lord, for those that are sick or weary, that they can reach up and receive that which you've already provided for them. Lord, bless each one tonight. Bless Brother Doug, Lord, the officers of the church, the ministers of the church, God. Bless them and use them greatly in the coming year, Lord. Father, we just love you tonight and we commit this service into your hands for your glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to read now a little bit from over in the book of Philippians. If you still have your Bibles open, turn to Philippians chapter 3. We want to start reading at verse 14, and we want to speak to just a few minutes on press on or perseverance or press on. Now Philippians 3:14 says this, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us therefore as many be perfect be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded. In other words, he said, if you think any other way, that God shall reveal unto you that this is the way for you to think. Amen. To be thou like-minded with God. Now, watch this. I want to bring this point out. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend. Look, let's go back here and pick up 13 for just a second, and then we'll bring this on down. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now that word reaching forth, it means to stretch out towards, to stretch oneself forward. You know, you get in your mind, and Philippians 3:14 says, I press to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's figuratively speaking like one that's running a race. So we see here that what Paul is telling us here is that we run this race like a runner when you get down to the end of the race and you've seen them in the run and the finish line is there and how they'll stretch forth their body to cross that finish line. And so that's what Paul is telling us here in Philippians 3:13, that those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are forward, to stretch oneself out, to like a running the race, to stretch out to cross the finish line, to press toward the mark of the high calling of the prize that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. To let us therefore as many as be perfect and be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, if you think any other way than this way, that God shall reveal unto you that this is the way for you to think. Amen. Now that word perfect that Paul's talking about, to be as many be perfect, it means to be brought to its end, to be finished, to be wanting nothing, necessary to completeness. Perfect, that which is perfect, consummated, full grown. Oh, I like that. Amen. I can start understanding that now. To be full grown adult of full age. To be mature. You see, God's not coming for a baby. God's coming for a wife. Amen. God's coming for a mature bride that knows that what he wants done with his word. Amen. That word perfect means to be wanting nothing, complete, but to full grown to adulthood. Now, I want to read from the Amplified Bible because this brings us out, and I'm trying to lay some stones quickly, but maybe I need to slow down a little bit, but I want to lay these out here from the Amplified Bible. It says, now, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on, hallelujah, I press on towards the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm striving for tonight, is to hear that call. Come up higher, amen. Amen. All of us who are mature, this continuation of the Amplified Bible, verse 15. All of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection should have this attitude. And if any respect you have a different attitude, that too, God will make it clear to you. Only let us stay true to what we have already obtained. Anyone who is pursuing spiritual perfection should have this attitude of persevering. Anyone that's trying to strive for spiritual perfection should have this attitude to persevere. Now, the word perseverance means it's not giving up. It is persistent and the tenacity and the effort required to do something and to keep doing it till the end, even if it's hard, even if others want to quit. Amen. God, let me have that in me, Lord. If my wife quits, God forbid. But if my children quit, God forbid. If everybody in this church walks away, not me, Lord. Amen. If somebody tries to turn me aside, if somebody says it's foolish, I'm going to press on. Amen. Amen. Even when others want to quit, when they want to fold up their Bible and they say, where is the promise of his coming? And they want to walk away and look at something else. But God helped me to do what the prophet said when he said, look on this. Amen. To persevere. Now in the message, things that are to be. In Tallahassee, we find this quote, and I'm just going to read a portion of it. You can go look it up yourself. It's a wonderful discernment. But Brother Mitch says, come, lady. How do you do, lady? Come here just a minute. No, mother. I want you to raise up. Raise her up. Don't lay down. Look here at me. Do you believe me to be God's prophet? Do you believe that what you hear is the truth? You're getting awful sick, aren't you? Is the reason you're doing that. It's Satan trying to rob you. If you'll believe me to be his servant, tonight is your deliverance. You've come a long way to get here, haven't you? That's right. But you're going to be well. Now, in this quote that I read to you, that's just portions of it. You can go back and look at the whole thing. But now in this quote, we find the moment that this woman's deliverance has come. Now, she was suffering with arthritis, TB, and kidney trouble. And she's now in the presence of the prophet of God. And he has told her, you're going to be well. But let's wind the clock back and look at the timeline that brought this woman in front of the prophet. Now, we can piece together from the information that the prophet gave us through discernment. We can kind of get sort of an ideal of what transpired. to bring this woman to this place that she's now standing in front of the prophet. What a place to stand. And then we know that somewhere prior to this moment, this woman begins to get sick. Now always remember this. Every miracle starts with a problem. So if you got a problem tonight, you're a candidate for a miracle. Amen. Amen. So the woman starts getting sick. She realizes there's something wrong with her body. And somehow, we're not exactly sure how, she hears about a man by the name of William Branham who prays for the sick and they get well. Now, the first thing this woman must do is to believe the report. That's the first step of any healing, of any deliverance, of receiving any promise from God, is you must believe. So she hears about this man named William Branham who has the ability to pray for the sick and they get well. And she believes the report. Now we understand that she believes it, report, because she believed it enough that she makes preparations to go to the meeting. To go to Brother Branham's meeting, to get a prayer card, and to get in line, and to be prayed for. So either by car, or train, or plane, or bus, we don't exactly know how, but we do know she come to the meeting. And we know by what the prophet told her, it was not an easy trip. She just didn't cross the street and effortlessly come to the meeting. No, it took perseverance. For he told her, you've come a long way to get here. Hey, there's something how far some people will travel to come to church and others won't cross the street. You've come a long way to get here. And we also know that Satan has fought this woman the whole way. Because once again, we understand by what the prophet's telling her is that Satan is fighting her tooth and nail to keep her from receiving her victory, to keep her from receiving her healing. She gets sick. She hears about Brother Branham. Satan starts his attack. She perseveres. She gets the money. She gets the transportation. She gets to the meeting. She gets in the building, in the church. A lot of people didn't. She gets a prayer card. Her number gets called. Like a runner running a race. There's a start and there's a finish. The race started when she realized she was sick. And now the finish line is right in front of her. She's on the platform. One step further. Look how far she's come. Satan fought her the whole way. But she pressed on. Now she's actually on the platform. And all of a sudden, she gets so sick. I'm going to faint. I'm going to lay down. Satan's telling her, you need to lay down. You can't make it. It's too much. You're going to faint right here. You're going to embarrass yourself. You can't stand before him. You need to quit. Just faint. Just lay down. Just fall down. Just give up. Just give in. Satan battling her. No one realizes the battle. No one sees the conflict. But the prophet of God, anointed by God, he looks into another realm and he sees the conflict. He sees the resistance. And the prophet says, you're getting so sick that you feel like you need to lay down. But the prophet said, fight it. Fight it. Oh, Brother Darrell, the Satan's attacking me. Oh, Brother Darrell, Satan's trying to destroy my family. I say, fight it. Amen. The prophet said, fight. Don't quit. Don't lay down. Stay up. Keep walking. Keep pressing. Keep moving on. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing on. Your deliverance is here. The prophet says, it's Satan. He's trying to rob you of your healing. Oh God, do you realize, my brother, my sister, that's what he tries to do every service. Rob you of your joy. Rob you of your victory. Rob you of your faith. Amen. It's Satan. He's trying to rob you of your of your healing. You've traveled miles to get here. You're on the platform. Don't stop now. Don't lay down now. Press on. And in her perseverance, She presses on. She reaches forward. Like a runner running a race, she reaches forward. Crosses the finish line. And the prophet says, poor thing, sick, suffering. Satan, come out of her. You're exposed in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave the woman. Come out of her. She got her healing. The prophet told her, you're going to be well. Her perseverance rewarded her with her healing. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience. Let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us. Amen. Now the prophet said, according to perseverance, according to Webster with his dictionary, he said, I was looking it up. It means to be persistent. It means to make a go. You must be fully persuaded to be persistent. Then you're perseverant. And now that's a good word. I like it, he says. I'm very fond of that fine word, perseverance. And I think that's the attitude that all Christians should be in at all times. Every Christian, regardless, well, Brother Dow, I'm having a hard time, even more so then. Not just be perseverant when everything's going good. Not just be perseverant when we're on the mountain. But when you're in the valley, that's the time to really press on. That's me of the attitude all Christians should be in at all times, is to be perseverant. To be persistent. You've got to have faith in what you're doing. Huh? Amen. To be persistent. You've got your mind set on something. You're persistent in it because you believe it's the thing you want. And you believe you can get it. Like a race. You've got to know the course. And you've got to stay the course. If you want to finish the race, you've got to run the course. Now when I was young, according to that sister in Nicaragua, that was a long time ago. But when I was young, I ran cross country in the army. I used to run anywhere between 50 to 80 miles a week. Now I can't run across the street. I used to train to run cross country. I run for the 18th Airborne Corps, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I remember a particular race. It was a 10K, 6.2 mile race. And this particular race, I always, when the gun went off, people would take off like they're only running 100 yards. I never did understand that. I always held back and just let them burn themselves out. But when I got to the 3 mile, about 3.2, I would start kicking because it built up your stamina. It made you feel good when you started passing people. So I would always hold back. And when I hit that halfway mark, I would start my kick. And then the closer I got to the finish line, I would start my kick greater and greater and try to finish with everything that was within me. But this particular race, it was a 10K, 6.2 mile race. The course was set, or so we thought. But the front runners who had passed the people who had burnt themselves out, we started showing up after those who burnt themselves out. They was already drinking Gatorade. Looking like, where you been, boys? We're thinking, how could this be? There's no way I passed that guy 2 miles back. How did he never pass me back? How did he get here? But to find out, the course wasn't fixed right. They had messed it up. And they were taking a shortcut. They was only running about 3 miles. You see, that's the way you've got to know the course. There's no shortcuts. There's no easy route. Just press on. Just run the course. If you run the course, you'll cross the finish line. This race was so messed up, they called it null and void. And about 3 days later, we ran it again. Because nobody knew where they were going. And we're all messed up. And don't you understand are you listening to me? Don't you understand that's exactly what the devil wants? He wants to get you confused that you don't know what the course is. You don't know what you're supposed to be running to. But I say to you, know the course. Know the message. know what the prophet said we are to be and what we are to do. Amen. To be persistent, you got to know your goal. I think of Paul. He ran his race. When they were going to cut Paul's head off, what did he say? I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord of righteousness judge will give me at that day. But not only me, but to all those who love his appearing. Paul said, I run the course. I may be down here at the finish line. They may cut my head off, but they won't stop me from running the race. Paul said, they threw me in prison, but I kept the faith. They beat me 39 stripes three times. Can you imagine the scars on Paul's back? 39 times, 39 stripes, three times they beat him, 39 stripes. But he kept the faith. He was cold, but he kept the faith. He was hungry, but he kept the faith. He was persecuted, but he kept the faith. He was rejected, but he kept the faith. They laughed at him, but he kept the faith. He was imprisoned, but he kept the faith. None of it stopped him from pressing on. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. He said, death, where is thy sting? He knew where he come from. He knew where he was going. And he knew death would never stop him from going there. It would only be his slave to take him into the presence of his God. Paul was persistent. Paul pressed on because Paul knew his God. Let me say to you tonight, young people, you cannot have faith in God without knowing the Word of God. Or knowing something about God. Someone told me, go out there and touch Brother Baker's truck and you'll get healed. I ain't gonna go out there and touch his truck. There ain't no healing virtue in his truck. Although it is a nice truck. But there's no healing virtue in it. Why would I go out there? Brother, there's nothing in that. Huh? I wouldn't believe that. Because there's no virtue in that. But I believe in the virtue that is in Christ Jesus. Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now that Word itself comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit, and it comes into us, and it's the Word in you. God in you. The hope of glory. Amen. That's the message of the hour. Message of the hour. It's more than God sent a prophet. We already know that. But what did the prophet come? The prophet come to tell us who we are. It's God in you, the hope of glory. The mind that was in Christ is in you. Then be thou thus minded. Believe the word like he believed the word. Ooh, that'd be good on a coffee cup right there. Believe the word like he believed the word. Be thou thus minded. He said, brother, I'm not sure about that. He said it himself. Let this mind in Christ be also in you. Is that not what is it Philippians, I believe it is, says? Be like minded. Believe it the way he believed it, with unwavering faith. Destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll raise it up. How could he say that? Because the word said that. Amen. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it and it come to him because he was the word. And you become the word as you receive the word. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. Amen. If this word abides in you, then ask what you will and it will be done for you. Then recognize your position in the scripture as a believer. I can't recognize myself as a prophet. I'm not a prophet. But I can recognize myself as a believer because I am a believer. Hallelujah. Whew. Maybe I am 76. I don't know. Amen. See, you've got to recognize your position. You've got to recognize your position as Jesus recognized his position. So when a brother or sister recognizes your position and takes a hold of God's word, you've got something that has virtue in it. You've got something that rings true. When you realize this word is speaking to you, there's virtue in that. My words will fail. Your words as a human will fail. But God's word cannot fail. Then if I can recognize what God's word is saying about me, then whatever God says about me, I am. Oh, hallelujah. I am what God says I am. My feelings have nothing to do with it. My emotion has nothing to do with it. My sickness has nothing to do with it. My joy has nothing to do with it. I am what the word says I am. Because God, hallelujah, God does not lie. Well, I don't feel like it. Then tell your feelings to shut up and sit down. Amen. When you get a hold of what the word is saying about you, and this is your absolute. Knowing that word won't fail, then you can persevere. You can press on through every battle, through every valley, through every trial, through every sickness, through every heartache. You can press on because you know that whatever you're facing will not stop you. It will not destroy you. Oh, hallelujah. Because according to God, you've already made it. He told Moses, when you come out of Egypt, bring my people to this mountain to worship me. As far as God was concerned, they were already on the mountain. That's why when Moses cried, God said, why are you crying, Moses? Just speak and go forth. Have not I done told you? Have not I done said, you'll worship me on this mountain. There's not a Red Sea. There's not bitter waters. There's not 3 days in the desert. There is nothing that'll stop you from coming to this mountain. And I say to you, my brother, my sister, there is nothing, Republican nor Democrat, nor the United States, nor any other nation, will stop this bride from coming to... Hallelujah, from coming to a rapture. God always does outside. I'm trying to behave. We're from the south, we get excited. Oh God, oh, that's not just words to me, Brother Doug. I believe that. Knowing the word can't fail, and you can persevere, you can press on. Heavens and earth will fail. Heavens and earth will fail. But God's word will never fail. And if you're a part of that word, you can never fail. You can never fail. I'm not saying that we win every battle. I'm not saying that. I may lose a battle now and then, but I've already won the war. And when you win the war, you see, when you win the war, the battles don't matter. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Spoken by him. He spoke it himself. I'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. And when you catch that revelation, he's speaking of me. Then you can be perseverant. You can be persistent. You can persevere because you have the understanding that God's word doesn't fail. And your anchor holds within the veil. The storms and the gale, they may press and shake you every way, but you're anchored. You're pressing on. You're running the race, the course that's set before you. You say, Brother Darrell, you don't understand. I'm in the boat. The boat's filling with water. My sails are torn. My oars are broke. Brother Darrell, the boat's filling with water. Well, listen to me. I'd rather be on a boat that's full of water and the oars broke and the sails torn with Jesus on board than to be on the Titanic without him. Well, glory. That's one of those about 2 o'clock this morning you'll say, oh yeah. Wouldn't you? I'd rather be in a storm with Jesus on the boat than to be sailing on the Titanic without him. Amen. We're running the race set before us. You know what you're holding on to. You know the course. You know where you started from. You know where you're going. Amen. I think of Samson. He was very persistent. As long as he could feel those seven locks around him, he knew he was had a promise from God, that God had given him a promise. And every person in this building tonight can be just as persistent as Samson was, as long as you can feel the power of the promise around you of God and know that the promise is unto you. You see, the same God that gave Samson a promise, that same God's gave us promises. And we can be just as perseverant. We can be just as persistent. We can press on just like Samson did. Amen. Amen. Know that the promise isn't to you. Here is in the Word. The Word said so. And you can be perseverant as long as you know the Word. As long as you know you've got that promise in your heart and that faith that told you so. You see, my brother, my sister, if you operate within the boundaries of electricity, you get lights. I guarantee you, I suppose nobody in this building didn't sleep last night because you're afraid the lights wouldn't work today. We never even thought about it. I didn't think about it. Did anybody here think about, wonder if the lights will be working when we get to church? No. The bill's been paid. The wires are good. The bulbs are all good. You just come in and flip the switch. You obey the law of electricity. You get the results. If you operate within the boundaries of electricity, you can have lights. And I say to you, my brother, my sister, if you operate within the boundaries of God's Word, you can have every promise that the Word says. Amen. Hallelujah. There may be Philistines all around you. There may be giants all around you. Just remember, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Faith says I'm healed. Faith don't look at symptoms. Faith don't look at MRIs. Faith don't look at CT scans. Faith looks at the promise of the Word. But faith grabbed that jawbone like he did. Amen. Amen. Just keep walking on, brother, the prophet said. God will take care of the Philistines. I don't have to worry about the Philistines. You've got the jawbone. Amen. God's given us faith. Amen. Amen. Take that jawbone. Take that faith that God's given you that comes from the hearing of His Word. Yeah. And fight till every symptom is gone. Yeah. Fight till every doubt is gone. Press on. You say, well, Brother Darrell, that's all good. But my case is so different. The doctor said it's the worst case he has ever seen. I'm not belittling that. I'm sure he told you that. Sure. But I say to you tonight, amen. How will believing that help you? Right. Take the jawbone. Take the jawbone and knock it out of the way. Well, you don't understand, I'm just getting too old. But let me remind you of a quote the prophet said. The man said, Brother Branham, I'm old. Is healing for me? Yes, healing is for whosoever will. Amen. But I'm old, Brother Branham. Is healing for me? Yes. Amen. Right. Healing is for you if you believe it. Regardless of the age, regardless of the gender, regardless of the name, regardless of the skin color. Yeah. Hallelujah. Healing is for you if you believe it. Amen. I'm getting old. Abraham was 100. Just press on. Amen. He touched Abraham when he was old. If he touched my daddy when he was old, he can touch me when I'm old. But my case is very bad, Brother Darrell. Jonah was in the belly of a whale. Hands and feet tied. Laying in whale vomit. Everywhere he looked was whale belly. He had plenty of symptoms. Friends, I'm not belittling any of our problems. God knows our problems are real. But I do know there is nobody here tonight as bad as Jonah. Anybody here got swallowed by a whale lately? Well, if God helped Jonah in a whale's belly, can't God help you in Tucson? Just take the jawbone and knock the whale's belly out of the way. Because he knew one thing. He remembered when Solomon dedicated the temple. He said, Lord, anytime your children is in trouble, let them look towards this temple, God. And he knew, oh, hallelujah, he knew God answers prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Amen. And show you great mighty things. If Jonah, under those circumstances, could have that much faith in God, what about you and me? You see, your weapon is not your emotion. Your weapon is not your shout. Though it's good to shout. Your weapon is the promised word. The word promised to you. Do not lay your weapon down. The prophet said, when you lay your weapon down, that finishes your fight. Like the sister in the prayer line. You've got to get past the barriers. Satan tried to make us lay down. It's too hard. It's not for you. Satan's going to make sure the barriers are there. But I say to you, press on. Amen. Persevere until you get past the barriers. You'll never do no good. You've got to come past the devil's barriers. Amen. Well, God was, but he isn't now. Nonsense. If God ever was, he still is. Amen. If God ever healed me one time, he can heal me again. Amen. God's lost his power. He's went back on his promise. Oh no. Oh no. It ain't God that's got weak. It's us. Amen. We've let our prayer life down. We've let our reading down. You get too many amens on that, but that's all right. It's not God that's went back on his promise. It's not God that's let us down. We've let God down. We've let our problems get bigger than our God. Amen. Oh, but God, give me a backbone. Give me a jawbone of faith, Lord. Amen. It's not God that's went back on his promise. It's man who's went back on his promise to believe. But may we be like that woman with the blood issue. She was still perseverance. The days of miracles might have been passed for all them, but it wasn't for her. She struck past the sound barrier. She got a hold of something. Something struck her. Would you watch this woman? She had a blood issue for 12 years. She heard the healer was passing by. She got done. Where she got to look at him. And she said, if I could but touch his garments, I'll be made whole. Where did she hear that at? Show me any place in the scripture that it says that. Jesus never said that. Peter never said that. Peter never said, touch his garments. You'll be made well. No, Peter never said that. It wasn't Peter that said it. It wasn't Jesus that said it. Who said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well? She did. Sure, God. She believed her own word. She spoke the word. Words of inspiration. She created an atmosphere speaking words of faith and materialized what she said became flesh. Amen. Her faith in the spoken words she spoke. Oh God. Faith in the spoken words she spoke brought the manifestation of her own words to pass. Faith finds a way. It might have to go down the chimney to get there. It'll go down the chimney. What difference does it make? As long as it arrives, faith finds a way. It may be calling. It may be singing. It may be shouting. Whatever it is, it finds a way. Faith moves right on. That woman tried to reach over the crowd, tried to reach through the crowd. Finally, she had to get down on her knees between her legs and reach out. Uh. very moment she touched his garment, Jesus stopped. And the very moment Jesus stopped, the blood stopped. Oh God. God told Noah, it's going to rain. I'm sending you with a message. Noah believed it, and he achieved God's purpose for his life. Noah got the word promised for his day. He held on to it 120 years. He held that promise. He persevered. He just didn't believe the message. Noah actually became the message. You want to achieve God's purpose in your life? Then be perseverance. When you see the word promised for your day, when you see you're a part of it, hold on to it. It's a promise. It's yours. When you see who you are in the word, let nothing stop you from achieving your purpose. You see, my brother, my sister, I'm like Enoch. I was born to take a rapture. We're the final runners, Brother Doug. There's nobody else to pass it to. There's nobody else to pass the ball. We're on the last lap. The finish line is right ahead. We're known as the anchor runners. The anchor runners run the swiftest. That'll have to be able to pass the baton. They just have to carry it. Not lay it down. Not drop it. But run. Amen. No cage. No scarecrow. No bluff. Not one of Satan's devices. In 2019, let's not just be in the message. But this year, let's let the message be in us. Listen to me. Do not make church a part of your life this year. Let me say it again. Do not make church a part of your life this year. But make church your life this year. Amen. Well, I work 5 days a week and I go to church on Sunday morning, but I can't make it back Sunday night. And no. That's living your life and church is a part of it. But make church your life. If nobody else shows up, you show up. If nobody else says amen, you say amen. If nobody else sings a special, you sing a special. Let's be what the word says we are. I am what God says I am. Because my God does not lie. You know who you are. And I say to you, press on. Amen. Brother Branham talked about the eagle in the cage. He had been captured. Says one of the most pitiful sights he'd ever had. The privilege of seeing this great heavenly bird had been captured. Netted by someone. Placed into a cage. He was so out of place. And the prophet said he would get back. He would feel those wings. He had run with everything within him. And he had strike those bars. And it'd knock him back. He'd lay there. Feathers would fly out. A bruise come on his head. He'd get up and he'd shake his head. And he'd run, hit those bars, fall back. Blood would start to form on his head. Prophet watching this bird. He would not quit. He would get up again, and he'd run, and he'd strike that cage, and he'd fall back. So I watched him proudly walk back, strike those bars, knock himself backwards. He wouldn't quit. He was perseverant. But he was doing that because he was out of place. He didn't belong there. He belonged there. He belonged in the heavens. His genetics told him so. His genetics told him, you ain't a crow, boy. You're not a blackbird. You're an eagle. You can go where the crow can't go. His genetics told him so. You know, I did my DNA. Anybody here do their DNA? I know Brother Baker did. Anybody else ever done their DNA? I did mine. And all I'll say is this. I can go to any continent in the world and be at home. Amen. But when I was looking at genetics, do you know you get 50% of your DNA from your mama? And you get 50% from your daddy. So my DNA makeup is 50% from my mother and 50% from my father, naturally speaking, my flesh body. But this ain't the real me. The real me is on the inside here. And I heard the prophet say, talking about the real me. He said, God was my father. So I get 50% of my spiritual DNA from my daddy. And then I found a quote where Brother Branham said, he's El Shaddai, the breasted one. And we were birthed or born by the breath of God. So the prophet said, so you see, God is your mother. Okay. God is my father. And I get 50% of my spiritual DNA from my father. And I get 50% spiritual DNA from my mother. And God is my father. And God is my mother. Then that makes my spiritual. That makes you all God, honey. You're just all God. We come from God. We go back to God. I said we come from God. We go back to God. He belonged in the heavens. His genetics told him so. I'm not going to quit. I don't belong here. I don't belong in Laodicea. If I fall, I'm going to get back up. If I sin, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to press on till I get back to where I belong. I'm not going to quit till I get back to where I belong. My Papaw Johnson was a Golden Glove boxer. He fought under the title of Doughboy Johnson. My mama told me when she was about 18, my Papaw had a fight scheduled in Knoxville, Tennessee at the arena. And they bought my mama a new dress to go watch her daddy fight. And she said, it always made me nervous. I was afraid my daddy would get hurt. And she said, that night, the man that my Papaw was boxing was taller than him. Bigger fist, a greater reach. I don't understand all that, but maybe some of you do. But they measure all that stuff. And this guy was just bigger than my Papaw. And my mama said, I begged my daddy, please, daddy, don't go in that ring. That man's going to kill you. She said, but Papaw got into the ring. Said, Daddy, he got into the ring. Said, first round, knocked him around. Second round, knocked him around. The third round, I believe it was. My mama said, that man landed an uppercut on my daddy. Knocked him through the ropes, out into the chairs. People had to get up and get out of the way. She said, I went running down there to where my daddy was. Blood poured out of his nose. His nose was broke till the day he died. It's turned that way. You never know whether he's looking at you or not. My mama says, she ran there. She said, I took the corner of my new dress. Was wiping the blood off my daddy's face. I said, Daddy, please. Please, Daddy, don't go back in there. Let's go home, Daddy. He's going to kill you. Let's go home. I said, Mama, what did he do? She said, he got up. He pushed me out of the way. He climbed back in the ring. And the next round, he knocked the man out. And he won the fight. Oh, I want the devil to know tonight. He may knock me into the third row. He may bloody my nose. But if God will give me grace, I will get back up. I will press on. Man, we're born for a purpose. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has promises for us to bring us to an expected end. What He has promised for us, we see His promises are true for healing and for deliverance. But what has He promised us concerning us for our day? The promises that's hid behind the seals that's been opened and revealed to us. Once they've been revealed, we can come under the effects. You see, as long as a bottle of alcohol is sealed, you can carry it around all day. You'll never get drunk. It's only when the seal's broke that you can actually come under the effects of what's behind the seal. And the seals have been opened in this hour. And now the things that were released by the opening of the word for our day, we have a right to obtain it. We have a right to become what the word says we are. Amen. He said, the prophet said He promised rabbits in Luther's day, but He has promised us in this day a 7-course meal. Everything is ready for the word of God for those who can receive it. Can we receive it? Can we believe? This is what God has ordained for my life. God has ordained for me to be a Holy Ghost filled, rapturing Christian. Amen. A genuine eagle will fly till he finds it. Eagles must eat eagles' food. Then let us press on. Do you love Him? Amen. Let's take the promises for our day. They belong to us. And let's persevere. Let's stay with it until the promises of being here is revealed and manifested in our lives. That the word for our day, promise for our day, promise for our hour, let's do not quit until that promised word is made flesh in us. Hold on to what the word says you are. The word says in Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. John 15:16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, that you should remain in whatsoever you shall ask in my name, it will be given to you. The message of the hour says, I'm coming to a close. The message of the hour says, as He being the groom and the bride has come forth because it's a part of Him, and it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations that any others has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest if it does something different from the groom. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride, because she is flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, life of His life, power of His power. She is Him. As a man and woman are one, the woman taken from His side, she hath taken the spirit, the feminine spirit from Him, and the flesh from His side, and made both the mechanics and the dynamics the wife. The spirit of Him and the flesh of Him put together made the mechanics and the dynamics until the church for the people. The bride will not just be the dynamics without the mechanics, nor will she just be the mechanics without the dynamics. But the true bride will be like the true groom. She will be both dynamic and mechanic. She will be the fullness of the word. Amen. Do you love Him? Isaiah 54:17, Brother Kenny, come. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That ought to make you say hallelujah. Let's break the barriers. Let's press past every obstacle that Satan tries to stop us. Satan tries. Let's dig out like the valley full of ditches. Remember, they dug out the ditches in the driest place. It said, you want water? Dig out the ditches. The prophet said they come across hubcaps, bricks. They had to throw it out of the way. And I say to you, in the driest, darkest part of Laodicea, there's going to be water. The water will rain. The rain will fall. The rain will come. The latter rain. Are you listening to me? The latter rain will come. Make sure things are out of your life. Get the hubcaps out. Get the bricks out. Get the doubt out. Get the fear out. Get the laziness of Laodicea. Get it out of our lives. Let's get ready for the rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Do you love him? Be thou like-minded. Be thou thus minded. Believe in the promise of your word. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. If the devil knocks me down, I'm going to get back up. If he knocks my teeth out, God give me grace, I'll gum him to death. No turning back. I've come too far to turn back. I started this race. I will finish it. I may hobble across. I may even crawl across. But I will cross.
That's right. Amen.
He will not shut me up. But my God will take me up. And I say to you, my brother, my sister, whatever you're facing, please understand, I'm not belittling anything. I know our problems are real. I know our sorrow is real. I know we have real trials in our life, and I'm by no wise belittling your troubles. But I am telling you, in the midst of all your troubles, press on. Be like Paul. I kept the faith. My wife got sick, but I kept the faith. I lost my child, but I kept. Everyone in my family left the message, but I kept the faith. I'm the only one in my family, my brothers, I'm the only one that serves the Lord. But if they don't go, I love them. But if they don't go, I'm not going to miss it for them. I'm going to press on, brother. If my back's not well today, it'll be well tomorrow. God, at any moment, at any moment, he can turn on the light. I'm going to press on. Anybody here like that tonight? I'm going to press on. Amen. Let's bow our heads. In Jesus' name, we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Jesus. Jesus, we press on. Hallelujah. My sister, whatever, heads bowed just a moment. Maybe there's a young person here that the devil's been battling you. Maybe he's trying to tell you that it's not for you. You messed up a few years ago. Now there's no more hope for you. He's just trying to rob you, my brother, my sister. He don't want you to press to this mark. But I'm here to tell you tonight, my God is the God of a second chance. Can you find it within yourself tonight? Can you look past your failures? See, the promise of His word is for you. For He says, if we're just to ask, He's just to forgive. And maybe you're here like that tonight. If you are, certainly not to point you out, embarrass you. I would never do that. But I wonder if you would just raise your hand. Say, I'm going to press on. I'm going to get up and knock the dust off of me. I'm going to start walking towards that line. I'm going to run this race again. Oh, anybody that's ever run cross country, you know, there's times you trip over a twig or a rock. You fall. You get into the sand. You lose your balance. You fall. You get up, you're muddy, you're scratched up, you're bleeding. But you keep running. Maybe you've tripped. Maybe you've scratched yourself. But don't quit now. The finish line's just over the hill. Let's run this race together. I remember years ago when I was running, I had a friend by the name of Ernest Hemingway. That guy could run. And I remember a particular race. I gave everything I had. And I broke out of the woods. The finish line was still maybe 600 yards away. And we wasn't allowed to. Nobody could run and spot you, as they called it. But they could stand along the route and encourage you. And I remember when I broke out of the woods, I was gone. I didn't have anything left. I started to slow my pace. And all at once I heard from the woods, run, Ward, run. It's just ahead. Don't quit. Don't quit. Run, run. And I say to you tonight, don't quit. Run this race. If you're here, you just slip your hand up and say, Brother, now are you talking to me? Is there anyone here? God bless that hand. God bless that hand. God bless that hand there, yes. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. Yes, God bless that hand. God bless that hand right there. I was waiting on you. I was waiting on you to raise your hand. God knows that's the truth. God bless this hand here. God bless that hand there. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight, you've been facing a great battle of sickness. Maybe it's oppression or depression. Some days you feel like you can't even get out of the bed. I know how you feel. When my back was so bad, I wasn't able to preach. I was having to cancel meetings, just laying at the home on the couch. My wife had to do my chores. I wasn't able to do them. I know what it is to get depressed. But God is the answer to depression. And if you've been running it, the devil's trying to slow you down. I say to you tonight, my brother, my sister, press on. Don't quit. Even if others try to encourage you, do not quit. it. The prize is only for those who finish, not just those who start, but those who finish the course. Here tonight. You just need encouragement. You just need, as it was, a vitamin shot tonight. Let God draw up in his syringe tonight. Vitamin A for Alpha. Vitamin B for Believe. Vitamin C for Christ. Vitamin D for Deity. Vitamin E for Eternity. Let him give you a spiritual vitamin injection tonight. To run this race with patience. To run this race with perseverance. Amen. Anyone here like that tonight? If you'd just like to stand to your feet. Say, Lord, I believe tonight. Amen. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, as I've looked out over this audience of your children, seen tears dripping off their face, God. Lord, that your spirit, that your presence, God, squeeze a man's heart, juice comes out his eyes. And Lord, these are my brothers and my sisters tonight. And I say, Lord, they're not heavy. They're my brother. They're my sister. And Lord, I want to run this race with them. I want to be able to encourage them, Lord. I ask you tonight, Father, those that raise their hand, those that are living under condemnation, may they see tonight that your blood has made them free. We don't have to run this race with shackles. We don't have to run it chained. We're free. Oh God, we confess tonight our sins before you, Lord. We ask you, God, forgive us. Wash us by the water of your word. And Father, my sisters tonight that are facing depression, Lord. God, the pressures of raising children, difficulties of this age, how Satan would desire to sift them, Lord. But oh God, I pray for my sisters tonight. May you strengthen them, Lord. May they realize, oh God, they also can run this race. The finish line is right ahead. Lord, those that are facing nervousness, menopause, and those things, God, that comes in times of their lives, help them tonight, Lord. And those that are concerned about their children, Lord, that can't sleep good at night, may they just simply give that girl, give that boy to you tonight, God. Amen. And just walk away and run the race. Amen. Knowing, God, if you knew that man would have a question 2 months before he did, then you know what's going to be the outcome of that daughter, of that boy. Amen. Lord, we simply give them into your hands. For my young brothers tonight, how Satan would like to sift them. How Satan would like to string them out on drugs. Get them caught up in the lust of the things of the world. But I pray for my young brothers tonight. May they be warriors of the cross. May they run this race. We're not going to turn back, Lord. We're going to run. The valleys may be deep. The deserts may be hot. The mountains may be cold. But we're going to press on. There's a finish line ahead. There's a rapture laying just ahead. We're going to cross that finish line, God, by your grace tonight. I pray for my brother, my sister. I pray for every person in this church. I pray for every mother in the cry room. May you help them tonight, God. The brothers taking care of their children. May you help them tonight, God. The single parent. Lord God, whatever they would face, Lord. We're going to press on, God. Satan's not going to rob us. Satan's not going to try to get us to lay down. He's going to try to get us to quit. But like the woman in the prayer line, we see the end just ahead. Oh Lord, years ago, me and Cheryl rode horses. We had two horses that they would just mope along. You'd kick them and they'd trot for a little bit, go back to a walk. But as soon as we made the turn back towards the barn, they would break into a run. Oh God, may we realize tonight, we've made that turn, Lord. We're headed home. It's not time to walk. It's time to run. Oh God, we're going to press on. Is that your testimony tonight? Just raise your hand to him. Say, Lord, I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. God bless you, saints. God bless you, saints. God bless you, saints. Just press on. Once more, as our brother comes, may the Lord be with you. In Jesus' name.